Save It for the Blind is sponsored by Kershaw Knives. Kershaw manufactures next-level pocket knives for outdoor enthusiasts. Save for the Blind is now also being sponsored by Roseville Motorsports. Roseville Motorsports is the greater Sacramento area's premier destination for all your power sports vehicle needs. Stop in today to browse off-road vehicles from leading manufacturers like Polaris, Yamaha, and more. If you guys are enjoying the show, we'd love to hear from you and get your support. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a 5-star rating. Your reviews really help us grow and reach more people. Thank you for being a part of our community.
Welcome back to Save for the Blind podcast. I'm here with Carson Odegaard and our Vice President of Policy, Mark Henley. Mark, we just had the Fish and Game Commission yesterday that approved the 25-26 regulations. Tell us what happened in that meeting and what should hunters look forward to.
Yeah, so there are a number of different changes that the commission approved. And the great thing was the recommendations were all things that CWA had, you know, brought to the commission several months ago, had gone through our, CWA R&T process. So probably the first one, it's the most important, is that, you know, the pintail limit will be 3 birds per day for next season. Everybody knows we've been fighting long and hard on this. I mean, geez, it's been over 25 years since we've had a 3 pintail limit. I think the last year of it was 1997. So a long time coming, taking a lot of work, had to deal with a lot of bureaucracy and other things, but finally this is coming to fruition. So hopefully that'll really help with hunting opportunity for next season. You know, I would assume the guys out in the rice are going to do really well. Other open water habitats preferred by pintail. So it's really exciting. We have had some questions, you know, is this 3 birds total or is there going to be a hen restriction? It will be just 3 birds total. And the reason for that is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been trying to get away from sex-specific regulations on other species. You guys may recall, I mean, there used to be a hen limit with canvasback, and that got taken away. So that's the direction they're moving. They really don't believe that the harvest of pintail hens significantly affects the population. So that's going to be the approach here. And the way this is going to all work is we'll have this next season of a three bird bag. And then once we reach 2 more seasons of a 3 bird bag, which may not be 3 seasons in a row, this may take actually a few years depending on the pintail population size on a yearly basis. It may take a while before we actually get 3 seasons of a 3 bird bag. But at that point, then the service will go back and analyze the data, look at, you know, the outcomes and what effect, if any, the 3 bird bag had on pintail populations. And then they will adopt a long-term strategy. Right now, we're in the interim strategy, which is more to learn about what the impacts of the bag limit may be on pintail. But eventually, they will come up with a longer-term, almost a permanent strategy.
Yeah, that's a good explanation, because I know a lot of folks are confused about why the no hen limit, and then, you know, there's a lot of misconception about how long this is going to go on. So appreciate the explanation on the interim versus the long term, and folks need to get that kind of through their head that this is basically a trial run, and depending on what the data says after our trial run, yep, we'll then morph into that long term final strategy.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, AHM, which is adaptive harvest management, that's the approach that the service has taken, I think, since 1995. And as part of that, you got to try new things every now and then in order to learn. And so that's the great thing about this 3 pintail limit. We'll learn a lot more about the effects of harvest on pintail and be much more educated on it. So that's the good part. And, you know, it's really only an incremental increase in the bag limit. It's not like we're going from 1 to 2 birds to 7, and we're not increasing the season length, which, as you guys know, has a significant impact on the number of birds that are harvested. So it's just kind of tweaking the regs, seeing if we can make these in the long term more hunter friendly, give more opportunity. So yeah, it'll be good to get all this information and then move forward from there.
Well, congrats on all your hard work over the years. I think all hunters applaud CWA's efforts to help in getting this kind of pass, and it's been a long time coming. I know I'm extremely excited about the waterfowl season. I think all hunters should be. I mean, I think most rice hunters for sure, but everyone on the refuges, private lands, etc. Because as everyone knows, there's some days where that's all you see is thousands and thousands of pintail, and it's really hard just to, you know, watch them all fly by every single day.
Yeah, pretty frustrating. And yeah, it definitely, it's taken a long time to get to this point. You know, a lot of trips back to Washington, D.C., lots of emails, lots of letters. And I would also say, too, our partner in all this has been the Department of Fish and Wildlife. You know, they sit on the Pacific Flyway Council, and having them really initiate this process in the council was very helpful. So want to make sure they get their due credit.
And then we're gonna have different season dates this year, right?
In terms of
we're starting a little bit earlier and ending a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
dates in the back
so,
end.
So yeah, I can get into that. So you know, as part of the entire package for the balance of state, Southern San Joaquin and Southern California zones, we will be starting on the third Saturday in October, which is October 18th, rather than the fourth. If you guys remember this last season, we had gone to the fourth Saturday, which was a little bit unusual for us. We're taking it back to the third Saturday in October. And then the good thing is we are going to get the maximum number of days. So the season on geese in the balance of the state, that won't close until the last Sunday in January. And then on ducks, it will not close until the last Wednesday in January. So you get that last kind of traditional shoot day. And that uses the maximum number of days that were allowed under the federal framework. So we've always heard from hunters, they want as many days in the field as possible. The proposal that was approved by the commission, and again, this was something that CWA had proposed a couple months ago, really allows for maximum opportunity.
Perfect. And then there was some stuff in the postseason that got passed as well, veteran weekend youth.
Yeah, so there, if you guys remember the last couple years, the youth hunts have been impacted because the regular season has ended only a few days before the youth hunt. And so the youth hunt hasn't had its traditional 5 days of rest. And we really wrestled with this. You know, we want to make sure we're fair to all the users to the extent possible that we can do it. So it was decided to switch the timing of the youth and the veteran active military hunts so that the veterans will go the first weekend in February, and then there'll be 5 days of rest, and then the youth hunt will go the second weekend in February, which is a significant change. The youth have always gone on the first weekend in February, so this will be new for them. But the good thing is it guarantees them year in and year out 5 days of rest for their hunt. You know, the youth hunt is the oldest of the postseason hunts. Obviously, it focuses on kids, which are critical to recruitment and getting more hunters out in the field and protecting hunting in the long term. So it's really important that we keep that hunt whole. A lot of the kids, too, they just can't compete with the adults. I mean, obviously, they need a little bit of extra help. So by doing this, 5 days of rest for them, that'll help ensure a more high-quality hunt for them. Some of the veterans, you know, may be a little bit tweaked that they're not getting quite as many rest days. But the good thing is the regular season would end on a Wednesday, so there would be 2 days of rest. And then if you look at the following season for 2026 and 27, the good thing is there, January 31st actually falls on a Sunday. So both the youth and the veterans will get their full 5 days of rest. And so, you know, every year the calendar is going to be a little bit different as to when January 31st falls. But at least in that year, there'll be no issue with any impacts to those postseason hunts.
And what about the late goose season? When is that going to start? I know this last year it started the same weekend as the veteran hunt weekend. Is there a gap in between the two? Or are they starting on the same weekend? And what's the, where does that lie?
Yeah, so that's another important change. You know, this year we allowed vets to hunt geese as well as ducks on their weekend. We combined the late goose with the veterans hunt. And we heard, you know, different pieces of feedback on that. Some people really liked the opportunity to be able to harvest both ducks and geese. Others felt, you know, they should be kept separate. But because of the other changes that we're making to the season this year and putting the veteran hunt first, you're going to then necessarily have to move that late goose season in the balance of the state back again, because we wouldn't want the late goose season to happen only a few days after the regular season occurred. So that will now occur on February 14th through the 18th, which I believe is President's Day weekend. So a lot of people also get time off during that. So hopefully that'll help to maximize the number of people that are able to take advantage of that. You know, some people have argued that the snows and the specks, you know, if you wait too long, you know, they tend to scatter to other parts of the valley, and it makes it a little bit harder the later you have that late goose hunt. But then we have other people, everybody has their own opinions, that want to have that late goose hunt, you know, sooner rather than later, because the birds tend to be more in the traditional areas. So we hear both sides of it. And again, with all of this, you know, it's good that we're kind of experimenting around and trying to see what scenario works best for each constituency of hunters. So we will definitely, after this next coming season, you know, reevaluate, were these changes, you know, serving the greatest numbers of hunters and creating the greatest good possible. We can always go back and tweak things. But again, if we don't ever make some changes, we're not going to really learn. So this is another opportunity to learn kind of what's the optimal way to have the regulations moving forward.
I think that's my favorite part of it, because so many people get stuck in their ways of what they know and expect. And the only way we can improve is, you know, sometimes we have to take these trial runs in and maybe they don't work out. And that's part of it that people have to understand is, you know, it may not work out how everybody expects it to, but we can make the change the next year, the year after, and adjust to figure out what the best way is going forward for California waterfowlers.
Yep. And the commission, to their credit, they really understand this too. They understand first that, you know, we have this January 31st rule. You know, there were several changes over the last 7 or 8 years that really have made doing the waterfowl regulations a lot more complex and difficult. We have the January 31st allowance, and we also have the desire, again, of most hunters to hunt as late into January as possible. But on the flip side, now we not only have a youth hunt that has to occur within 2 weeks after the end of the regular season, but then a veterans active military hunt. And so trying to maximize hunting opportunities within those time periods and keep everybody whole is a little bit difficult. And again, January 31st falls on a different day of the week, you know, every year. So it's a little bit tricky, but we're trying to do, you know, the best we can. I think the approach that we're going with this year is a very well-balanced approach. You're never going to make everybody fully happy. But again, if we can maximize opportunity for most, then I think, you know, we're doing a good job. One other side note for people that are black brant hunters, because the 3-year population survey came up with a number that was below a certain threshold, We're going to have to further reduce for this upcoming season, the black brant season, down to 16 days. You know, a few years ago, it was, I think, 30 days, and then they cut it back to like 26. Now it's going to fall to 16 days, and that's purely due to the population censuses. And hopefully, you know, in the next couple of years, those will rise again above the threshold. But for the time being, we're going to have to deal with a much shorter brant season. That brant season will be at the end. It will be as late as possible. That sounded like both in the northern and southern sections of the brant hunting areas, that it's best to have those hunt days as late in the season as possible. So that will be provided. But yeah, just know if you're a brant hunter, you know, you've got a few less days again this year to get out there and try to get your birds.
And is there anything else on the northeast zone that hunters should be aware of?
With northeast, it's pretty close to the same regulations as last year. One thing we are working on moving forward is trying to get that Canada goose limit up from 2 to 3 birds. As everybody knows, you know, you can shoot 10 down in the valley. You can shoot more, you know, birds up in Oregon and in Nevada. But in the northeast zone, you've been stuck at 2 birds for a long time. We think that there's plenty of opportunity to add another bird to the bag. You know, a lot of those birds up in northeast, they don't just stay up there. They'll go down to the balance of the state. Where I hunt down in the foothills in Amador County, I mean, I'd say 2/3 of the bands that we get come from, you know, either Klamath or Walker Lake, Lake Almanor, or even up in Summer Lake. So we know that these birds move around and are not just, you know, permanently found in certain zones. So from that point of view, there should be no reason why you can't add another bird to the bag and not have any significant effect on the population. So hopefully we can work with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to get that changed, add a little more opportunity. And I know up in the northeast zone, particularly, you know, honker hunting is a big thing for a lot of guides and a lot of landowners up there. So we'll do our best to get you some relief for next season.
Our hunt program is still accepting applications for spring pig hunts. Visit calwaterfowl.org to apply today. We're still accepting applications for our Camp Spring events. These events are for participants 10 to 16. So if you have a young hunter looking to obtain their hunter education certificate, these are 2.5-day camps designed to provide hands-on learning. While you're there, don't miss out on our membership deal. Purchase a membership and receive a free Realtree sweatshirt while supplies last. You can also apply for hunts, purchase tickets for upcoming events, and show your support for waterfowl conservation. We do have some upcoming events. Our Lake County Recruitment Meeting and Social, April 23rd. Our Folsom Recruitment Meeting and Social, May 1st. And our Santa Rosa Banquet on May 2nd. Thank you for the support. CalWaterfowl.org.
Yeah, I think that's most of it for right now. You mentioned the mute swan bill. I mean, our hope is we can get that through the legislature, get it signed into law. It's already, frankly, passed 2 key committees. It's gotten bipartisan support, and it'll be taken up on the floor of the assembly probably within the next 2 weeks. But that also then would lay the groundwork to eventually getting a tundra swan season, which, as you know, several other states have them. So I think it's something really important. But in the meantime, it would provide an additional opportunity. Again, you'd need to kill the mute swans. You need to be either a landowner or have a hunting license. So it's just something kind of neat that we can provide here in the short term. You know, the nesting conditions for this year should be looking really good. Northeast California got a ton of snow and rain. They're way above their long-term precipitation averages. I got to believe the Devil's Garden's full of water. I know Klamath is looking really, really good right now. They actually have more water than they know what to do with. So the breeding in Unit 2 should be off the hook for our local ducks. And then you go over to areas like Modoc, they're going to have water all summer long. So my hope is we get some really good mallard hunting early in the season, and then, you know, along with this three pintail allowance, having some really good opportunities, particularly on sprig late in the season. As everybody knows, in January, it seems like the pintail really seem to decoy a lot better, and you know, they're definitely down here and in good numbers at that time. So cross our fingers we don't have too much flooding, but if we have kind of a normal rainfall this coming winter and a bumper crop of mallards in this three pintail allowance, it could make for some interesting hunting. Hopefully it'll make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for everything that you're doing. So you heard it here first. Three pintail next year is confirmed. Mark, thanks for coming on. We'll catch you next time on another episode of Save It for the Blind podcast.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Save It for the Blind podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.